want you to blow your cool. Cross your hand, of course that man's plotting. Smart enough, the streets is watching.
Good morning, podcast audience. Let's get ready for the Kenny Hoggs Postal Podcast. Hey, good morning, and welcome back to the Kenny Hoggs Postal Podcast. We're going to follow up today. I received a lot of traffic on email pertaining to my podcast on the contract that's up for ratification right now. So I'm going to follow up with just some of my thoughts. And again, I'm giving you my thoughts. I'm not pro or con against it. I'm just giving you what I look at. And maybe it may be of interest for you to look at. That's all we're doing here. I want to start the podcast off with a correction. On yesterday's show, I said that MHAs would not be able to use leave in increments of hours. In fact, I gave the example that if they were late to work, they could not use leave. And I want to correct that. I want to correct that because they can use leave in increments of 1 and 40 hours, between 1 and 40 hours. So they do have the opportunity, again, should they need to use leave at the beginning of a tour or use leave to leave early, they do have that. They are able to do that. So I want to make that clear because that's not what I put out yesterday. Once again, a letter will be issued by USPS management to make clear that MHAs can request use of annual leave in increments of between 1 and 40 hours. Okay, now let's get to today's topic. Now, again, today what I want to do is what I've done in the last 2 days is pretty much read to you what was put out by Postal Headquarters. Now I'm going to give you my interpretation of what I read and maybe some things that as members we may want to ask a question and get better clarification on. Okay? And I'm going to try to go in numerical order or in chronological order so that if you follow what it is I'm saying with the message put out by Postal Headquarters, we can track each other. I'm starting right at the top when we talk about general wage increases. Now, I mentioned this briefly, but I have a hard time understanding that fourth called a special pay adjustment, also effective on November 20th, 2021, that 8%, again, maybe it's just due to lack of knowledge on my part, but it just seems a bit curious, I'll say, that we would receive a 1% general wage increase and then a special pay adjustment. If anyone could shine some light on that for me, I would really appreciate it. Does that mean that the 8% is going to be a one-time cash payment? Does that mean that that 8% will be adjusted into our pay? And when I say into our pay, if that's going to be the case, why would it not just be a 1.8%? And again, I'm not trying to get real semantical with you. When I saw it, it set up a red flag to me. Well, not a red flag, a light that made me want to ask the question. Okay? So I would be concerned as to that payment, and I would, and I'm going to ask for a little more clarification on why it's broken down that way. Also, I would ask, as a career mail handler, why would it be negotiated that non-career employees are receiving a larger pay increase? I'm not adjusting for COLA. Why would non-career employees receive a larger pay increase than career employees? These are just questions that I'm going to ask. Now, again, the COLA is separate from our pay increase, so let's not add them together as if that's one pot of money we're receiving. And it's important that we are able to bifurcate the two. So we must keep them separate. So let us not be razzle-dazzled by a bottom line number. In overall, I think any pay increase is wonderful. I do. But I have to ask now, if we're selling for a 3% with an 8% additional bonus pay coming in, is that equitable to what other unions are going to be receiving? Now, I know that everyone's aware that the APWU is going to be, they're going to binding arbitration in order to reach an agreement. Now, again, one might ask, just grabbing 3% or 3.8%, however they break that down, is better than waiting on a new postmaster general who may not be postal quasi-government friendly. In other words, a postmaster general selected by those looking to privatize, and maybe the mail handlers get nothing. Well, I personally would have sided with the other two unions and probably went to binding arbitration as well. So again, I am in favor of the pay increase, but we'll have to see how that plays out. Let's move down to no layoff clause. And again, I see where it's no layoff clause, and the language as I read it is very clear. All career mail handlers employed as of September 20th, 2019 will be protected against layoff or forced reduction during the entire term of the agreement. But if we go down a little more into what they call the additional highlights, I'm sorry, other contractual provisions, what you're going to find is the first line there says, Article 6 will be amended to ensure that layoffs of career employees, if ever implemented, are prohibited unless preceded by reduction in overtime, MHA hours, and PTF hours. Where you just, in a sentence earlier, told me they will be protected against everything with the exception of if Congress repeals or significantly relaxes the private express mail statute. So, and again, I'm just sharing my thoughts with you. On one hand, you tell me I'm protected unless that express mail statute is relaxed. And then on another hand, you tell me that to ensure layoff of career employees, if ever implemented, are prohibited unless preceded by another set of instructions. So let's just get a little clarification on that. It brings me to the night shift differential. And my question to that would be, as it reads, for the first time since 1996, the Postal Service and the Mail Handlers Union have agreed to unlock each year of the contract, the flat dollar amounts paid for night differential at each grade and step of the wage scale. Now, under this agreement, all night differentials will increase by 2% per year, effective May 2020, in May 2021, in May 2022. My question would be, what does unlocking the contract do? Because I think, as I read it, wouldn't it be simpler if you just wrote into the contract that we're going to get a 2% increase every year? So when I see, we're about to do some historic feat as far as unlocking this contract. I would have to ask, what does that entail? And when a contract is unlocked, is that the only item that can be negotiated? Just my thoughts, listeners. Just my thoughts. And when I say unlock, because they're going to be increased by amount that's already set, it would be as simple as the manner in which they have our clothing allowance set for increases. Again, they don't have to unlock a contract for that. So just like our clothing allowance will be increased 2.5% during each year of the contract, I think they should simply be able to say that the night differential will increase by 2% in 2020, 21, and 22 in the month of May. And I skipped over one very important area that I want to come back to, and I'm going to do it right now, and that's the one-time conversion of MHAs. Now, last year's contract, it was a two-year period. This year, it's 2.5-year period. And I want to say to all the MHAs, if this, now again, it says there's going to be a one-time conversion of MHAs in installations which have 200 or more man years of employment, with the conversion to take place within 60 days. As of the date of the ratification, any mail handler with 2.5 or more years as an MHA at that time will be automatically converted to full-time career status without the need to serve another probationary period. Well, what they're saying is if we ratify this contract on February 1st, then you would have had to been an MHA in August of 2017 to meet the 2.5-year eligibility period. Again, if we ratify this contract on February 1st of 2020, you go back 2.5 years, that'll bring you to August 2017. If this contract is ratified on March 1st, you go back 2.5 years. That means you would have had to been a MHA September 2017. Okay, so if you are inside of those date qualifications, either August 2017, depending on February ratification, or September 2017, depending on March ratification, then you will be converted. If you don't fall within that guideline, feel free to check my math, then you will not be converted based on this agreement in the contract. Now, that does not mean that if there are vacancies in offices and they convert MHAs, it does not mean you're not eligible for that. You're just not eligible to be converted on this one-time automatic conversion. One more topic I want to talk about today, again, because I try to keep the podcast around 15 minutes, is the elimination of all casual employees from the mail handler craft. Now, again, there's going to be the agreement will also eliminate all casual employees from the mail handler craft within 120 days of ratification of this agreement. Again, the date this is agreed upon, roughly 3 months later, all casuals have to be removed from the mail handler craft. Now, there's a whole lot of other writing here, but one thing that caps my attention is in return for losing all the casuals, the tentative agreement will increase the percentage of MHAs to allow up to 24.5 by installation. Now, again, when I hear installation, I hope they're not talking about by area. If they're talking installation, that means each individual facility. And this cap will apply at the installation level, making enforcement easier for the union. The tentative agreement will eliminate the district cap. And instead, they're going to apply a hard cap at an installation level. And what they're saying is we're now going to be able to go have up to 24.5 MHAs in every office. Now, again, rough math, that tells me that for every 25 mail handlers, based under this new agreement, you're going to be authorized 6 MHAs. That's about 24.5. So an office with 300 mail handlers, your authorized MHA complement will be 73, 74. So you're going to have a total complement of about 374 mail handlers. Now, again, you have to evaluate that on your own. That those are just numbers that I'm going to share with you, and that's what that breaks down to. Is that good? Is that bad? Well, every office will answer that differently. But based on the increased percentage of MHAs will be allowed to be at 24.5. And again, the language is very important, and it says up to 24.5. So what will happen is we start hitting 24.5, still not enough mail handlers on the roll. Then you force the post office to convert or add additional bids that will allow them to convert more regulars while employing more MHAs. My name is Kenny Hodge, and that's my podcast today. As I just try to get us to open up to look at what we're being presented with. And again, now is the time to let your voice be heard. If you're really satisfied with it, then you ought to support your national office and respond as such. If there are issues or questions, then by the same token, ask those questions. Have a great day, and remember, only through solidarity will management respect us as an entity.